Dear Lord, shine within our hearts, loving Lord, with the true light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our minds that we may comprehend the message of your word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verses 25 through 31. Listen for the word of the Lord. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to the people yet unborn, and saying that he has done it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The preached text this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Listen again for the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. He prunes every branch that bears fruit to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Now let the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Christ, amen. The sermon title this morning is Saved to be Fruitful. The passage is a part of Jesus' farewell discourse in which he spoke about his impending death and the upcoming trials his disciples would face. In our text, Jesus gave his seventh and last I am statement in the Gospel of John. We all might recall when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And now in our passage, Jesus says, I am the vine. This agrarian metaphor of vines would have been familiar and significant to everyday life. People working in the grape harvest were exempt from military service. Payments of wine often discharged taxes and debts. And the ideal lifestyle for the Hebrews in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, was sedentary on their plot of land, sitting under a vine. If the disciples had paid attention as they moved from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, they would have seen the great temple atop Mount Zion. One of the notable features was a large decorative vine affixed above the entryway in the holy place. Wealthy Jews would bring gifts of gold tendrils, berries, and leaves as gifts so that the vine might always grow larger, according to the first century historian Josephus. We don't know, but this could be what prompted Jesus to teach that he was the true vine. As God's vine, Israel is seen throughout the Hebrew scriptures, especially in Psalm 80, verse 8. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. Israel as a nation was what God planted, cared for, and he expected fruit from it. Interestingly, the vine as a symbol in the Old Testament is not used apart from degeneration. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, God complained, "Yet I planted you as a choice vine from the purest stock. How then did you turn degenerate and become a wild vine?" In the Song of the Vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, when Judah failed to live in the expected justice and righteousness of God as the metaphor of yielding grapes, they produced only wild grapes. Wild grapes were sour, bad tasting, and worthless. The same Hebrew word for wild grapes in the Isaiah passage is used in Amos chapter 4, verse 10, and describes the stench of a camp after battle. Wild grapes were useless and came from branches that had lost their attachment to the vine. Ministries that are interwoven with worldly understanding and expectations often soon lose their identity in Christ. Their branches are dying or dead due to their exposure to the risk of sin, pride, and other temptations. They become disconnected branches and fail to bear fruit. Verse 4 says, "Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." How many stories have we read about or videos we've seen where Christians were drawn into the world and God allowed them to fall away because they became wild grapes? Charles Spurgeon spoke of those who were drawn into disbelief and discovered that Christianity was not true after all. He responded, "The Father said, 'Do away with them. Do away with them.'" In the Father's protective care, watchfulness, and faithfulness over the vineyard, God does not permit any true branches to go to ruin. As Christians, are we truly serving our purpose if we don't pray for others? Support them in Christ's victory during difficult times, or declare Jesus our Lord? Are we being fruitful? This might have been why Jesus said, "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Jesus' words here were not about Jewish apostasy or abandonment or pointing back to the Judas betrayal. He was concerned about people already in relationship with him. Verse 2, "Every branch in me," who were not committed to discipleship. Because Israel didn't produce the desired fruit, God sent his own son, Jesus. Through his righteousness and redemptive presence, they would prevail and they could live and produce good fruit. His promise to them was, "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." To abide in Jesus is to stay the course, continue the work of Jesus, and endure difficult times that were sure to come in hope in his suffering and death on the cross. John 14, verse 12 says, "Very truly, I tell you, The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. The Master had assured them that the more they abide in him, the greater the fruit of the works of love his disciples were called to live. While each fruit might vary, producing good fruit was the only proof of the salvation of those who belong to Christ. Like the true wine and bread, the true vine only comes from the Father, and the true vine provides the sap of the branches that fruit might come forth. The sap of the vine is the vital and life fluid, and Jesus, as the true vine, gave his disciples new life and purpose that distinguished them from those who do not bear fruit. At one of the local hospitals, Pastor Joanne and I ran across two people, wonderful people. They had a small farmer's market, and they were enthusiastically sharing how they gathered pesticide-free foods and vegetables from five local farmers. Their group brings healthy foods to all communities and partnered with local pharmacies to provide healthy foods as a part of the real medicine we should be taking. The one gentleman smiled as he held up a bushel of strawberries and said, "This is the real pharmacy, F-A-R-M. I chuckled, but before we left, he shared that the farmers were blessed to have volunteers at each farm to pick weeds and keep the rows of fruits and vegetables clean and in perfect order in the appearance of a Hollywood set. That seems pretty awesome to me. But Jesus' vine metaphor reminds us that we do not keep the vineyard. That is not our work. It is the work of the Father. In his upcoming absence, Jesus called his disciples to bear fruit that would reveal their discipleship, spiritual maturity, and obedience to him. In our salvation, there is really only one way to live: in Jesus, the true vine, and as a fruit-bearing branch. To bear the fruit of Christ, we must be rooted in his love, open to his pruning, and witness to his glory. Is there evidence of spiritual fruit in your life? The evidence of spiritual fruit comes from being rooted in Jesus. To be rooted is to be stubborn in Christ. We are stubborn for many things. We're stubborn in our relationships, stubborn in our bad attitudes, stubborn in our unforgiving hearts. But Jesus usually doesn't make the stubborn list. We must be careful, though, not to become useless branches that claim Jesus as the master of our lives but only give lip service. We must be adamant in our hearts and actions to maintain the vital connection to the source of our faith, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. When Jesus said, "Those who abide in me and I abide in them will bear much fruit," beyond what is mystical and experiential in our faith, being fruitful requires deliberate work. We might have to arrange our lives in such a way to not avoid missing Jesus. Arranging time for a solid prayer life, silent time with God, participating in the church's life, responding to injustice with righteousness, volunteering to help those in need, visiting the lonely, sick, or hospitalized, just to name a few. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith without works, but Jesus calls us to have a trustworthy and faithful response for all that he has done, is doing, and promises to do. As Pastor Nelson preached last Sunday, we can have trust in the reality that God is calling each of us along to live in his resurrecting ways here and now as we await the full kingdom come. To be rooted in Jesus is to live in connection with the power of his life-giving blood, the sap of our faith, which was shed for us so we might live fruitful lives. But in our fruitfulness, our spiritual debris must be pruned. Over time, spiritual debris accumulates. Bad habits, distracting priorities and values, stagnant and unhealthy relationships with family, colleagues, and classmates, or a prayer life that becomes more prayerless. In our fruitfulness, we are pruned. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Horticulturist Eric Chernow from Oregon State University says, home grape growers don't prune their vines enough. When gardeners prune, they should remove the majority of the wood produced by the previous season until about 90% of it is pruned. Sometimes we want to hold on to things that need to be released. Pruning is not only necessary for Christian growth, but it can also be uncomfortable. Just when we think we have figured God out, or even when things are going well, the Father takes the pruning knife and cuts away the spiritual branches that cause us debris. Pruning can look like many things. When parenting is overwhelming, loving our spouse is complex, and there are workplace issues, sickness, and persecution when our faith can be tested. God shows no preferential treatment when we are fruit bearers. Whether you are young or old, leaders in the church or congregational members, seasoned Christians or new in the faith, if you bear fruit, you will be pruned. We must be open to God's providential pruning and count it all joy. The pruning knife is not punishment. It is the vine dressing. It is the very hand of God, and it is where we experience the sap of God's grace through Jesus Christ. In the Father's love, we are given new opportunities each day to witness God's love and Christ's grace to others so that we might grow stronger in love, dependence, and service to the Lord. And it is in this witnessing, the manifestation of God's glory, we prove as a community to be his disciples. As the church, we need to reflect God's character in the world by bearing fruit so that people might get a glimpse of God's presence and a taste of his faithfulness. We must share the good news, point out and name God's presence, favor, and forgiveness, show radical hospitality, and have a spirit of radical invitation. Unlike Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where there are a variety of gifts, in John's gospel, there's a specialness of a community. He used the word you 13 times in verses 3 through 8. It is plural in the Greek to emphasize the community of faith and to help his disciples of all ages to move away from individualism, self-expression, and personal accomplishments as the only way to bear fruit. Oh, how it opposes our Western self-aggrandizing distinctiveness for the shared love of those who are embodied in Christ. Verse 8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. We must demonstrate love and reveal ourselves as the disciples, God's disciples, intertwined branches. Whatever we do, it should be done in the authentic love of Christ. And when we do it, God will be glorified. Brothers and sisters, we are saved to be fruitful. And the mark of a faithful community is love, the tangible sign of discipleship. It is still commonplace for vines to be lifted off the ground and placed onto trellises so that the grapes and the developing leaves and fruit are protected from crawling critters, mold, and drought. And we, as the community of faith, have been lifted by the redemption of the cross and his resurrection that we might grow in fruitfulness. The vine is a spreading plant, and Christ must be known as the salvation to the ends of the earth. The good news is that regardless of who you are, there's only one gift, and everyone can do it. Bear fruit. You can bear fruit in your homes, bear fruit at school, bear fruit on the job, and bear fruit in the world. We must bear fruit in the church and as the church in the world. Stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. Be the juice of the living vine. Love others as Jesus has loved you. Believe in him and proclaim God's gift of eternal life, knowing that in our salvation, it is because of Jesus that we can bear fruit.